Hello and welcome back to another week of Getting Naked with Nate. I am your host, Nate Maingard, and I hope you're doing well this week. I would love to hear from you. Let me know how life has been. How is the world treating the flesh that you're wandering around this strange earth in? It's been crazy in my world. Lots of ups, lots of downs, and everything in between. Crazy stories of the experience of being human. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. Today, I'm sharing an episode that I recorded a few weeks ago with my friend Ainsley, who's in Canada. And I must just say, I apologize for any hassles with the connection. It was a live stream and the audio sometimes drops out. I've done the best that I can to kind of get it to sound awesome. And so I hope that you do enjoy. But Ainsley is talking with us today about mindfulness, about being a creative, about taking care of yourself, your health from the mental perspective, which is something that I definitely struggle with as a creator. It's something that I'm very grateful to have a friend who can help with that kind of stuff. So we talk about gratitude. Why do gratitude practices work? What actually makes them work? She says something that I absolutely loved. It's probably my biggest takeaway, or one of my biggest takeaways from this, is that gratitude practices is collecting evidence for the goodness in your life. And I realized that one of my tendencies is to collect evidence for the bad things, where I focus on all the ways I failed, all the ways I've done wrong, instead of having, you know, a gratitude practice, which I do, and I try to do as often as possible, but just realizing the reason for it is that you're just collecting evidence, real evidence of the goodness in your life, of the stuff that is awesome. We get into much more than that. Ainsley's offered a download that I'm going to link to in the show notes as well. There's a bunch of stuff in the show notes, as always, nakedwithnate.com. Let me know if you're enjoying this podcast. Please leave me a comment, visit the show notes, leave a review, any of those things. It may not seem like much to you, but it makes a huge difference in my world. And it also helps more people to find the podcast. And it helps my insecurity demons to sleep better when the reviews come in. I know that might sound strange to say, but it's truly a thing. So if you're getting something out of this podcast, if you love Getting Naked with Nate, then let a brother know. And also support on Patreon. Thank you so much to everyone who is supporting. I recently had someone pledge $100 on my Patreon page. So thank you so much, you sweet, delightful human. I don't know if you want to remain anonymous, so I won't see your name, but you know who you are. Thank you. Thank you so much. And so, yeah, you can go, you can visit, you can pledge $1, you can pledge $5, but your pledges are directly result in this podcast happening, this podcast keeping its heart and soul without me having to sell any of it off to the highest bidder, which I would never do. And it also helps me to just focus on writing music. It helps me to have the time to go to my therapist. It helps me to afford going to my therapist. It helps me to do all the things that keep Nate operating in three-dimensional reality. So in any way that you can support, please do that. nakedwithnate.com. Everything you need is there. This podcast episode was live streamed on my Facebook page. You will also find a link to the live video if you want to see the unedited raw video. Enjoy that experience. You can do that as well at the show notes. I'm not going to keep you for any longer because we got a really epic episode. There's a lot of good information in here. So please enjoy, and thank you for being here. Thank you for getting naked with Nate. This is my dear friend Ainsley, and yeah, please enjoy yourself. Well, before I go, I suppose I should introduce her a little more. Ainsley Gregg, or Greg, I always wonder how to say her surname. We met at a vegan fast food cafe in London some years ago through a great community of friends at the Inspiral Lounge, where I was running an open mic night and she was chefing, and she's just rad. She's one of those good-hearted, wonderful people. She builds websites for creatives. She's now stepping out into supporting and assisting creatives, specifically in really being healthy in themselves so that they can help the world more, basically helping with mental health, with mindfulness, with exercises, with structures, with practices. And I'm so grateful that people like Ainsley exist to help people like me keep our shit together, because my God, it's complicated out there. I don't know if you've noticed that at all, but I certainly feel it. So yes, do check out Ainsley in the show notes, nakedwithnate.com. You will find all of the wonderful things. You'll get a link to a free download from her for a little mindfulness practice. She's also running a super cheap 10 or 11 day course. I think it starts today or tomorrow, which is Thursday, the 12th of July. So if you're listening right now, you can, if it's still time, you can go check it out in the show notes. And yeah, thanks for being here. Thank you for the wild ride. It's all ups, it's all downs, it's all in betweens, but We float the boat of life together, and I appreciate you. So we're going to start off by listening to a song of Ainsley's choice, which is Angel Whispers by our friend Sam Garrett. He's magnificent. The dude is a badass as far as songwriting goes, and just as far as his entire, what he's here to bring the world goes. I will link to his song in the show notes as well. I say that a lot, but it's all there. The show notes is where the magic happens as far as connecting further goes. So please enjoy Angel Whispers by my friend Sam Garrett, and we'll get started with this episode.
Oh, got an angel and a devil in my way. While they sell their promises, I wait patiently for fate.
Man, that dude knows how to write some songs. That is so beautiful.
So good.
Good choice. I feel very calm.
Right?
Totally chilled. So I want to talk more about what you said just before we kind of got started with this part, before we listened to the song, is this idea of social media and how, I mean, the name itself is very interesting to me, right? We call it social media, and yet it seems that the way it's been going is anti-social media, right? It seems that in many ways, it's like breaking the social structures. And so how, in terms of how that relates to being a creative, I mean, for myself, as someone who I make my income and my job and how I connect with humans, how I share my art is through social media. And so I'd love to know some of your thoughts just around that whole structure. And if, have you experienced that in your own work? And how is it that you're helping, like, how would you invite people to look at their use of social media in a way that can be constructive?
I mean, I feel like I'll address the last thing first, maybe.
Sorry, that was a lot.
That was a lot. I'm like, we'll get there. But I mean, for me, what I notice is that I have to be very mindful about how I use social media. I feel like it affects our minds. It affects our experience of how we communicate with people, how we feel connected to people. I mean, I think that like the way these like apps and websites and things are designed is like, they literally, you hear people from the industry talking about it. They're literally designed to be addictive, to give you like a little dopamine rush every time you get some likes, some hearts, some comments, some whatever, to keep you coming back, because they want your eyes on their website. Because like, if you think this is all here to help us, not really.
Well, I suppose, in your work, I'd be curious to know, do you feel that many people understand that social media is being built as a sort of, that yes, we get to connect with one another in some ways, but that it's actually designed to keep us addicted so they can make money out of that? Is that something that you feel people are aware of, or is how do you feel about that conversation?
I don't know. I feel like I see that conversation come up like every now and then. And I feel like if we have this conversation and you like bring this up with someone, they'll be like, oh yeah, like that's totally how it is. But I think in the moment we forget that, right? Like, I think that we get so caught up in like, I have to share my, I mean, and like, I, you know, talk all this shit about it, but I love social media. I love the internet. I'm like, I feel like I've like lived on the internet like my entire life, right? Like yeah. I got the internet back in like the mid to late 90s. And like, that was when I started. Like, oh my God, similar interests, and like find all this information. And like, there's so many amazing things about the internet and being able to connect with people all over the world that have similar interests and all that whole side of it. But I think we forget sometimes that it's not created entirely like for our, I guess for our well-being. I was going to say for our benefit, for our well-being, right? So it can be helpful to like keep that in mind when right. you're using it and interacting with people.
So when you said, I mean, you said this, you said keep it in mind, and you also said being mindful about it a minute ago. And so this is exactly what we're here to talk about, is mindfulness and bringing mindfulness to our, not just our creative practices, but ourselves as humans, as creative humans. And I don't know about any of the other creatives out there, and I'd love to hear from anyone listening to this. You can either comment live, or you could go to nakedwithnate.com at the show notes. But what I feel hypersensitive, I don't think that everyone in the world is as sensitive as many of the creative people I know. And that's not it's not like you're a better person if you're more sensitive. It's just a different sort of shade of humanness. But as creatives, we're like connecting with the world in such an intense way on a daily basis. And so I'm very excited to hear, like, again, a bit more of your story about that. Like, why is it so important that we as creatives know our minds, and how do we how do we manage them? How these beasts?
How? What?
Tell me all the things.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I mean, like, I love that this conversation came up for us just sort of naturally as you were just living, experiencing, sharing all these things. And I think, like, that's what you said is such a big part of it. As, like, a creative person, you share, and, like, I write and share things that are sort of honest, close to me as well as you do with your music and your podcast and everything that you share. And, like, I think that's like what it is to be a creator or a creative person, that you have some, I don't know, need, compulsion, whatever, to, like, share some meaningful piece of you with other people, with the world, as some sort of reflection, whatever. Like, I feel like that's a whole other conversation of what that is. But then we're sharing that, like, important piece of ourselves on social media that is then, you know, people can comment on it, they can like it, they can not like it, they right. can
or they could ignore it completely.
They can ignore it, which is probably the worst of all. One like. It was my mom.
And so how does someone sort of protect their minds from, how do we disengage ourselves from the sort of taking it so personally? Like, what is, give me how, because I want to know one freaking tool, tell me.
I mean, honestly, and it always seems like the obvious, I feel like I say this about everything, it's like, it's just noticing that that's what's going on, right? That you're gonna have these reactions, that you're gonna share something that feels meaningful to you, and the world is going to comment on it. And you don't need to take that, like you said, you don't need to take that personally. You don't need to take that too seriously. And just to, like, to notice what reactions you have, and that the reactions that you have are just kind of like stories in your mind that you're telling yourself about. It's like, I mean, there's so many variables, right? It's, you post something on Facebook and you get one like and no one saw it, whatever. It's like, well, that's as much to do or more to do with, like, Facebook's algorithms than it is to do with, did anyone actually post it? Like, I'm sure they would like it, but maybe they didn't even see it, right? And you don't know. There's just, like, there's so many variables going on that, I mean, this is, like, applies to kind of all things in life, right? Like, there's so much going on outside of us that we don't know why it's happening, and we let it mean something about us or our experience, or we, like, make up a whole story of, like, you know, no one liked my thing because it was terrible and I'm a shitty human and da da da, I should just never do this again. Like, well, maybe they just didn't like it because they didn't see it, or they've got their own whole story going on and they're, like, too sort of in that to even know what's going on with you, right? It's like something that I think about often that is, like, I don't know, it's either comforting / depressing, is, like, other people care about you a lot more than you hope they do, right? Like, we're all just sort of in our own worlds.
Yeah, so this idea, well, I find, so that what I got really out of that, and it's something that I definitely have experienced myself, is that I don't want to say distancing, but in some ways it is a distancing. It's, instead of, like, it's a very simple thing, but instead of saying, I feel this, or like taking it so personally, being like, there is pain or there is sadness, or just looking at it from that one step back of, like, okay, so there's this thing that I really care about and I shared it with the world, and either no one liked it or no one commented, or, like, whatever happens that is not how we hope it will go, in that moment is to observe it and say, okay, that doesn't reflect, like, witness it, witness the feeling, but remember that the feeling itself isn't, like, doesn't define who I am, and doesn't, And also, actually, one of the simple things that I found is really getting busy with the next thing. I don't know if that's like a weird thing to say, but like, especially now, cause I'm doing this like 14 songs and I'm doing my podcast and I'm writing. So I'm very busy right now. And so I'm sharing stuff, but then once it's shared, I'm not sitting there waiting for the comments and the likes and the shares. I'm busy with the next thing. And I love when the comments do come and I can comment, and I love that, that engagement with actual humans is so rad, but if I'm get busy into the next thing, then that just kind of helps me to stay focused. Anyway, so let's, I'm interested to hear more. I've got the little list I've written of a few of the things. Actually, it was in the description of some of the things you said you were interested in. And the things that I would, when you sent me that list, I was like, ooh, these are the things I really want to hear more about.
Yeah. Keep us on topic.
Right. Exactly.
I just go off.
I know, me too. Like, we could just go off in all kinds of directions. So I want to understand, I want you to talk about, well, I would love it if you would speak about negativity bias, and take us down that. I feel like we were touching a little bit on that, just like the outskirts, but I'm actually not sure. So please do take us down that road.
So negative bias. I mean, it's like, it is just like, your body and your biology kind of doing things in your experience that makes you feel a certain way or have a certain experience. And so negativity bias is your brain basically trying to keep you safe and out of danger. So this is like, it's, you know, don't walk down a dark alley, or like, there's, you know, bears over there. Like, I saw something bad happen here once, or this was like trauma for me. And so we remember these things so we don't go back and get like hurt again or killed or whatever. And like, at some point in our evolution and history, this was like, if you're an animal, you know, this is important and useful, and still, you know, is, can be, helps you maybe discern whatever. But it also means that our minds have this sort of noticing and bringing up the bad things, the things that we've defined as like scary, unsafe, dangerous, whatever. If we don't sort of train ourselves to know that that's what's going on, or to have a different way of approaching it, that is kind of like the sort of habitual road that we go down, which obviously negativity bias means that you're going to have a sort of more negatively biased experience than not. Which
is that kind of like fight or flight, in terms of how we can maybe, you know, there's that like adrenaline, because I know as myself, I'm someone who's very highly strong in some ways, I'm very chilled in other ways, but I definitely go, if something happens, sometimes when things happen, sometimes my immediate response is that hyper, like attack or retreat. And I don't know if that has something, if it's connected in some way, but it sounds like that's what, where it is.
It's that all kind of like our biology trying to keep us out of danger, basically, right? Where it's like, oh shit, a bear, I better run. But in, you know, at this point in our culture, evolution, society, whatever, it's like, oh shit, a bad comment on Facebook, I better never post anything again and like go to bed for a month.
Right. Oh my god, like, I so know that. Oh, that's
not like, that's not helpful.
Right.
That's not what we need. That Facebook comment is not going to eat you. So.
Right.
But that's what ends up happening.
And so what people, because like, this is something now that makes me think of like positive affirmations, because I know for myself that the voice in my head can often tell me really nasty shit. Like, it can just be mean, you know, and in a way that when it's telling me the things, it seems very convincing. It's like, I'm very believable in those moments. I'm like, oh yeah, I am a fucking failure, and I do suck, and I'm a fake, and everyone's going to work it out at some point. And like this, but then doing the opposite, like positive affirmations. So I've just come across positive affirmations recently. I mean, I've known about them for ages, but I'm practicing them for the first time thanks to this surf training instructor. He shared about his own battles with mental health, and he said this has really helped him. He did it for you start with like 90 days twice a day, reading out these very like, I am beautiful, every part of my body is fantastic, and you know, and it's, and so I'm curious to know, like, does this stuff work? Because in the moment I do feel good about it, but then sometimes I don't really, and sometimes it feels really stupid. Like I'm saying it, I'm like, this is idiotic. but then why does it sound so non-idiotic when I say terrible things to myself? So can you just like talk me through that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, so that's, yeah, I just want to say, like, affirmations, like, yes, they do work. It's kind of a mixed bag to it that works for you. So what's happening, why those like shitty mean voices, your inner critic, whatever you want to call it, why that sounds true is because that's the voice that's like always been in your head your entire life. Think of like, who knows you better than you, right? Mm. So who can tear you down better than yourself can tear you down, right? Because it knows, that little voice knows all your fears, all your doubts, everything that's like built up over your entire life. And then like in your worst moments, we'll say those things to you. It's just like, you wouldn't say that to a friend. It's like, it's ridiculous, but we say it to ourselves, right?
Right.
And that's because a lot of those things, they're coming from your subconscious. Your subconscious is, like I was saying, it's like your entire life sort of history and evidence all built up supporting these things. So if you started believing something that you believe about yourself, like, you know, I'm here, no one likes what I make or whatever, my, you know, writing is terrible, someone once criticized you about something, or you got a comment in like literally like elementary school about this, and that just like stuck in there and it's just been there. And you've been like, we see what we believe. We see evidence for what we already believe. So that thought's already in there. And you're going around your life looking at every experience that you have and everything you see going, yep, that supports that belief that I already have. That supports that belief I already have. So it's like, we have like 30 plus years of evidence collected for these terrible things. That then when we're at our lowest, that like shitty little inner critic is like, me, 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 me. And you're like, oh yeah, God, you're right. That's true. I get like, because of this, because of that.
Right.
But it's like, oh, and now it's like, oh my God, that's terrible. It doesn't have to be. That's how it is and how it can be and how it works. But our brain, like with the negativity bias, and like, we can change our brains, right? Like there's all these things. But our brains are like literally like silly putty that if we develop new habits and new practices, we change those habits. We can change what we believe, and then we change what we see. So, and then why affirmations, like something like, you know, I love myself or whatever, like even that's one for so many people that they could say that and just be like, it's painful. I don't believe it. It's not true. Whatever. And you're like, well, that's kind of weird, but it can become true when you start like looking for evidence to back up that belief. And sometimes you need to just like scale back your affirmations. So if you like, what, probably a list from this guy that you've got this thing from, right? It's like the ones that don't feel true to you, you could think about them and kind of like scale it back, right? Be like, is there some version of this that I could believe that could feel true to me? That's like, you know, doesn't feel as far off. And then you can start looking around. And like, I would literally, this is kind of, I feel like we talked about this before. It touches on things like, people, you've heard of a gratitude list, right? Like everyone's heard like, you should write a gratitude list. Like it'll make you happier. It'll whatever. It's like, well, why does it work? Because you're literally collecting evidence that there are good things happening to you in your life all around, and that combats the negativity bias. And then you can do it more specifically around like a specific affirmation to like collect evidence for, you know, I love myself because, you know, I did this for myself. I did that for myself. I did it to just like make it tangible, real and believable. And then eventually you'll have new evidence on the other side that can like disprove the old evidence of, you know, why did I think I was a shitty human before?
Right, exactly. Okay, well, I really like this idea. I hadn't really thought of it in that way before, that gratitude is basically just collecting evidence. And it makes so much sense to me, because that's exactly what the negative voices do, is when they're
telling me stuff. It's like, because you did that and you didn't do that and you broke that girl's heart and you were an asshole there and you failed at doing that creative thing. And so I like this idea of collecting evidence.
It's not random.
Right. So I actually want to take this opportunity. I'm going to share in the comments that there is a free download from Ainsley. And I'd like you to just kind of talk us through it, because I feel like the whole point of this is I want to offer people some tools to start like taking some of those little steps in a very gentle, loving way. Like not, because my thing is that I always jump in both feet. Like I go do 10 days Vipassana and then have a nervous breakdown. So Vipassana is a silent meditation for those who don't know. And it's the most intense thing. And I highly recommend it if you are in a position where it makes sense for you to do it and where you have good support afterwards. But I didn't, and I wasn't, and it was like a nervous breakdown. Anyway, so Ainsley has a download. I'm going to throw this in the comments right now. And Ainsley, if you'll just tell us kind of what's in that so that people know what they're getting.
Yeah, I feel like that's so interesting that you mentioned the 10-day Vipassana and like how intense that was, because I don't think you should do something like that. Like I've done quite a few silent meditation retreats. I did a 30-day one time, which was like amazing and a whole thing. But like, you don't want to jump into those things not having any experience at all with this kind of thing, because I mean, it's silence. It's like 5, 10, 30 days, whatever, like in silence with yourself, all these voices in your head that tell you all these things and all the stories of your life. And if you don't have any experience or the right tools or awareness before you go into an experience like that to like start sort of managing some of those things, it can be very confronting and very overwhelming and just not a good time. Like Nate did not have a good time with that. So this little download that I've got to share with you guys is kind of like, it's like a meditation mindfulness like starter kit. It's very, it's like simple, sort of like, why should I incorporate some sort of meditation mindfulness awareness into my life with my mind, and how can I do that in like a couple minutes a day in real life, right? Like, so I look at like a meditation retreat, like going on a silent retreat, or even like sitting down yourself to meditate for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. It's what we call it, a practice. It's literally upright monks that are going to go sit in a cave for 30 years or whatever, where people doing things, living in the world, having relationships, jobs, creating whatever. And so we need to practice in this sort of like contained environment of even like 2 minutes or like 30 seconds of meditation or being aware of like what's going on right now, to then be more present with what is happening, you know, when I'm sharing something that I've created, when I'm having a difficult conversation with someone, when I'm doing something outside my comfort zone. The more we practice this like in a contained way, then the more you can have that presence and awareness in the rest of your life, which is to me the whole point. So that's a very long-winded way of saying like that's kind of what you'll get out of that download, is a little like starter. Like you can do it like sitting for like 30 seconds or walking for like a couple minutes, or you know, setting little triggers for yourself throughout the day to be like, oh, wake up.
Right. I feel like that's such a commonly said thing. There's that great quote. I will actually put the full official quote into the show notes, so do not quote me on this right now, but it's something along, someone asked, I think it was the Dalai Lama or some rad human. They asked him like, what is it that surprises you most about humans? And he said, or about the world or something. And he said, it's man, because he sacrifices his health for his work, and then he spends all his, or for his money, and then he spends all his money trying to get healthy. And then by the time he's can enjoy it all, it's too late. And it's like, so we're, he said he never lives in the present. He's always like in the future or the past. And obviously it's simple stuff, but it really is that simple. I know for myself that if I can come into presence, and it can be for anything, it does not have to be some like I'm sitting on a cushion burning incense holding prayer beads, and like that's the moment when the sacredness happens. But it really, even just doing the dishes and having a moment, or even right now, just realizing consciously, I am here. It's like suddenly I realize, oh, it's actually okay. It's here I am. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is discomfort. Yes, there is all this other stuff that comes and goes, but here I am, and it's okay. And there's that. So I definitely think people should get a hold of what you're offering. And the fact that it's offered in such a sort of nicely packaged, like gentle introduction is really valuable. So please do click the link. The link is also in the description, and I will obviously put it in the show notes. So if anyone's listening to this not as the live stream, then you can have a listen. I'm actually kind of keen to get to the Q&A, because I feel like we've covered some really sort of interesting ideas around, you know, the effects that social media has and treating social media as if it's like a personal attack. And then what is mindfulness and how do we do a little more of it and all these cool things. So I would really love to hear from the people who are watching if they have any questions or any feedback or any ideas. Is there anything else that you kind of would like to say before we listen to the next song?
No, I mean, I feel like we covered a lot.
Cool. Yeah, I feel like I was like, damn, we are on a roll.
That is, yeah. did we cover everything on our list? I'm like, what was on our to-do
list? I feel like we did. I feel like we've done great.
I feel like we got it.
We should give ourselves some massive positive affirmations. We are amazing and beautiful, and we did all the things on the list.
Yeah. We did. We stayed mainly on top.
Yeah.
Go
okay.
Us.
So we're going to listen to another song. And then for those who are listening to this live, please start asking questions. We're going to have a Q&A straight after this song. And this was Ainsley's choice. And I'd be interested again to hear from you, Ainsley. Why did you choose this song, which is my song, my newest song called Letting You Know?
I felt like I saw in the video for it, which if people haven't seen the video yet, go find that on Nate's page, wherever it is, because it's amazing. It's so good. I don't know. I felt like it kind of spoke to like some of what we'd been talking about and like this whole weird experience of being human and how we're all having the same kind of weird experience of being human that is sometimes awesome and sometimes painful and always really weird.
Thank you. I think that's a freaking great reason to play this song. I love that. So we're going to listen to Letting You Know. And I will, again, I'll put a video of this in the show notes for those who want to go watch it later. The official podcast will only be out in a few weeks. But anyway, so for now, let's listen to Letting You Know. And then we're going to have the Q&A. So do start asking your questions. And thanks for being here. Cool. Well, that was obviously...
Oh, I love it so much.
Thank you. I'm so glad. Yeah, I mean, I thought what you said was apt. It really like came out of that place. I think, you know, the conversation we had and the kind of just stuff that's been in my mind and my heart recently, that song was just like all of that exploding out. And I really didn't think...
I feel that.
Yeah. Like it just, I just did not expect it. And it was amazing because talking of creation and if there's recommended reading for anyone, Elizabeth Gilbert's, I think it's called Big Magic, her book, Big Magic.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, dude, reading that was such an experience. I will put it in the show notes, Big Magic. She talks about creativity as something like, I think I've often waited for creativity in my life. Like I thought it was something that if I just sit, you know, quietly it'll arrive and that it does happen that way sometimes. But in this case, I had been like, okay, I'm writing a song a week. I need to write a song. Thursday's the day I have time. I'm going to sit down and write a song. And I was working on a different song that I thought was like, okay, I'm committing to finishing this other one. And it just suddenly hit me. And it was amazing to feel that. I didn't think that structure and creativity really went together. And that was like a huge lesson for me. And maybe that could also be a good tool for those out there who are wondering like, oh, I don't feel very inspired at the moment. Fuck inspiration. Just get down and do the work. But like, yeah. Just show up, basically.
Do not wait. Like, yeah, it's interesting. I've been realizing that recently too. Like I have a funny, I'm a very kind of like, I don't know, fuck the rules, fuck authority kind of person. If you tell me to do something, like I want to do the opposite.
Yeah.
But I've been realizing recently that like you're saying, you actually, especially for creativity, like you kind of, you got to have some rules for yourself, right? Where it's like, I write, like if I want to accomplish what is important to me in my life, these need to be like the non-negotiables, right? For you, if that's like, I write a song every week. For me, it's like, I write every day. Because if you're like, oh, I'll do it when I feel inspired, it's like, well, I might feel inspired next Thursday, or I might feel inspired in 6 months, or I might feel inspired never because, you know, I got distracted by Netflix. And I think we get that's another part of this conversation too, is there's just like so much coming at us all the time that it's so easy to be distracted. And I think that then also touches back on what you were saying about like, creating something, releasing it, and then getting busy with the next thing, right? Because then it's like eyes on your own paper kind of situation, right? Or if you're looking around at like, what's this person doing? What's that person doing? How many people liked or commented on my thing? Then, you know, what is inside you that wants to come out the time or the space to time? I don't know about you, but as like someone who needs to create and express themselves, then I start to feel, it's like this weird like feedback loop, then I start to feel bad that I'm not creating, and then that makes me feel less like creating, and I just kind of like shrink into this little ball, and it goes around and around. So it's like you can like schedule this shit, you know, totally. Make it happen.
Right, exactly. And the beauty of it is we actually have some questions coming in, so I want to get to those, but just last little piece of that is that the beauty is that if you are like committed to your work process, even if you like say you can't get out of bed because of depression or something, try to just lie in bed and write the poem of how shitty it is to be depressed in bed, because that in itself is an important thing for people to hear about. I feel like so often for myself, I've been like, I'm really sad, I'm in a lot of pain, I can't share this because it's shitty, and like what am I going to talk about right now because I feel like crap. I should literally write the song that's like, I don't want to talk because I feel like crap. That's the perfect song to write in that moment. Anyway, so we have a question from Angel. What he's asked is, how do you exercise yourself to try to turn off those voices in your head if they are really negative, such as you are not going to get it, you are not good enough? Some of them are derived from your inner fears and others are derived from comments from the rest of people. So how do you turn off those voices that say those things? Is there any quick advice in order to get back to the present and stay in the moment? And I'm going to hide that comment because it's taken up the whole page.
Because I can't see your face.
Yeah, but that's a great question.
Yeah, that's an amazing question. And I mean, honestly, like sometimes I give these answers, I'm like, I hope this is helpful. It's like the simplest way to get back into the present and to not, I mean, okay, two-part answer. The simplest way is you literally just decide, like, it's the practice of noticing it. Whether that's based on what I believe or based on what someone else said to me, And if someone, here's the thing, if someone else says something to you and you believe it, you also believe that about yourself. If someone says something to you and you don't think that it's true, so I'm like, hey, Nate, you're a duck. And you're like, I'm not a duck, I'm a human. Like, you're fucking crazy. That, you know, that's not true, so you don't believe it. If I say something to you that you do already believe about yourself, you're like, oh yeah, shit, she's right. So just to kind of make that distinction that, like, if something someone else says affects you, you also believe that about yourself. And then you can kind of like go inside and be like, oh, right, why do I believe that? Can I? And then that goes to the evidence-based thing. What evidence can I start collecting for myself that that is not true, or that I can start to turn that belief around, right? If, like, not true, little things that I can start noticing that are in opposition to that, and collecting that evidence. Like, I feel like I cannot stress that enough, that we need to collect these, like, you know, have a journal and have your gratitude list or your, like, evidence list that you collect every day based on some things that you want, some new things that you want to think about yourself. And just decide that you're going to do it. You know, that's really, it's like anything. It doesn't work if you don't do it. So it's just to be like, I'm going to be vigilant about this stuff. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to collect evidence in opposition to the shitty things that I don't want to believe that support the new things I do want to believe. And it'll start to change. You know, you might honestly be surprised how quickly it starts to change if you actually do these things. But yeah, like, number one non-negotiable, do the thing.
Do the thing, right. Exactly. I feel like that's my big takeaway. Actually, so far from our whole conversation now, one of my biggest takeaways is collect evidence for the good stuff, because I've spent so long collecting evidence for the bad stuff. So what the hell? That's just not fair.
It's not fair to yourself.
It's just not fair. Okay, so let's see. What else do we have here? We've got a few more questions. Ooh, there's... So we have a great comment, which I'm just going to throw up on the screen. This is from Peter, who says, I think sharing pain can be as healing to yourself and to others, I guess, as to others. Someone else could read about that pain and recognize that they are not alone. And yeah, dude, I'm so with you. I mean, that whole so song, much. I think, was like that, was the recognition.
I mean, and, like, I feel like that kind of sums up, like, everything we're doing as creators, of, like, sharing something that is important and meaningful to us with other people. It's all just like this, like, big pool of sort of like common reflection and, like, you're not alone. Like, most of the comments that I get are people going like, yeah, me too, I needed to hear that, like, along those lines, right? And I'm just like, that is, it's everything. It's like, it's for them, they're like, oh my God, she feels the way I do. And for me, I'm like, oh my God, they feel the way I do. And we all just kind of realize that we're all having the same weird human experience. And
I suppose that's like empathy, right? I mean, empathy is feeling, is putting ourselves into someone else's position, or imagining ourselves in someone else's position, or knowing that someone else is in the position we are in as well. And yeah, it's so easy, especially, I feel like social media breeds that, of getting on the high horse, of like jumping on someone's comment stream, being like, you're a dick, you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't talk about the stuff you're talking about. And when in reality, if we knew the journey they were walking, we might be like, whoa, I actually really get what that person's saying. And I feel a lot of that. So anyway, let's get to another question. We got another nice long one from John. He says, I think busking has a lot of parallels to social media. And I just want to say, I totally agree with you, John, as someone who has busked a lot. Yes. He says, I'll play my heart out and no tips. Then when you get one, you feel great. Changes my whole energy. So it would be great to keep in mind that positive feeling. Realize how awesome it is to even be putting yourself out there. So hard to keep it up without positive feedback from others. Any tips?
I mean, so much yes to that. Just the parallel of like putting yourself out there. Like, yeah, I mean, and I'm going to keep going back to this. It's the collecting evidence, right? And that, like, noticing what John's saying about noticing your shift in energy when something good comes, right? So you're playing, you're busking, you're playing, you're posting, and like, you know, no positive reaction, and you're like, oh, I don't feel so good. This is kind of crappy. And then you get that, you know, someone throws some money in your guitar case, or you get, you know, a nice comment of someone like, oh, that like really, you know, helped me. I like that. And you feel energy change. Remember that feeling, like that's what you're trying to build up with things like collecting evidence, with a gratitude list, with being in the present, is to not let, and to, I mean, and also that's just sort of like the changing nature of everything, is some days when you're busking, you make money, and some days you don't. And maybe some days you get heckled or whatever. And it's like, it's exactly the same as social media. And the
yeah,
internet,
totally.
Really.
It's so true.
But like, that's so funny. I never thought about it like that. I love that comparison. But yeah, I mean, so in a way to just like not take any of that too seriously, too personally, to be like, that was yesterday, this is today, tomorrow is tomorrow. It will all be different. It doesn't necessarily mean anything about me as a person, especially, or about what I'm creating, that people are reacting to it in this way. Because, you know, it could be the weather could be bad, and so no one wants to stop to listen to you, because they're down power through wherever I'm going. And I mean, that's such just how we all are in general, regardless. I said weather, I'm like the internal weather of like the people passing by you, right? Of like, do they have the capacity in themselves to stop and give a shit and whatever? Maybe not. And that doesn't mean anything about you. So.
Right. And it's interesting because I've had this experience, and not just when I was starting out, and the experience of playing a lot of open mics, or not just like, not a respectful open mic where people are running it for the music and there's like a listening audience, but the kind of open mics that are in a pub where everyone's drunk and no one really cares. I'm playing some songs and it's just like a roiling mass of people all kind of shouting and thinking, oh, no one, this sucks. This is like the hardest experience. No one cares. No one loves me. And I would find, not every time, but sometimes I would step off and there would be one person who would seek me out afterwards and say, man, I needed that. Like, that was important for me to hear tonight. Thank you. And to realize that we don't get to control when that happens or when that doesn't happen, but just if in every moment we can try out, like, just surrender ourselves as though we are singing the one thing that someone needs to hear. I think that can be,
yeah.
It's not easy, but it's a fun thing to aim for anyway.
That's what we have to do.
Right, exactly. Okay, so we're kind of at the end of the Q&A, so I just want to read out, there have been two really beautiful comments I'd like to read, and then we can kind of bring this to a close. We have one from Angela, and she says, I saw someone suggest once that you should imagine it is someone you have no respect for saying the negative things, and it is so much easier to shut the voice down. And I've actually had I've tried this more recently, funnily enough, of just like, realizing that voice is really not, it's like, wow, you're mean as shit. And I'm not into it. Like, no. and to kind of, it's that distancing, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read one more. And then we're going to, let's see. So Georgina says, I practice gratitude every day and it really helps me. Like Nate says in his song, it's the little things. Thanks, Georgina. That's really nice. That's so nice.
Love it.
And so that is the end of, that is the end of today's Q&A.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Getting Naked with Nate. This podcast exists for the service of us all as humans, just to be real with one another, to open our hearts, to express our feelings and behavior openly, nakedly, with authenticity. This is what the world needs right now more than ever. It needs us to open ourselves to the reality of our connections, of our similarities. We've focused so much on what separates us, and it's literally tearing us apart. I mean, tearing humanity into little segments of us and them, when really it's all just us. It's all us. We are all together in this experience. I hope that Ainsley has brought you value today. I know, I'm sure that she has. She's got some great information, and I hope that you've absorbed it and enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with another episode of this podcast. Thank you again to my patrons who support this. You yourself can comment on this podcast episode. You can support this podcast. You can really enter further into this conversation that I'm having with you out there in the world by going to nakedwithnate.com. It's that simple. Thank you for getting naked with Nate. I will see you next week. I am Nate Maingard, and you are perfect just as you are.
try to see my point of view, echoes of another you, saving up your indiscretions. I've seen the wild untamable, more than less unshakable, shaper who has named me shameless. So leave me be, I'm tempted. Every rule I've bended, I shake the weight and break the hate with everything that I am made of. Try to see my point of view, echoes of another you, saving up your indiscretions. I've